Welcome into another episode of Tailgate Talk SEC. I am Will Thomas. Week 12 preview on the way. We have the two high caliber matchups, one in Athens, one in Tuscaloosa. We got two little cupcakes that we'll just brush over, but a lot of good looking competition in the SEC this week. We are officially approaching the college football playoff. We are 2 weeks into those CFP rankings, and they don't mean a lot right now. I've been decently vocal about how I think A&M should be number one, even though number three, but it's all going to play itself out. Right, they're going to keep have the chance to keep winning games. In A&M's case, they can go win the SEC. They can go win their playoff games. And we'll see if I'm right or wrong. But the playoff rankings are coming out, so teams are getting a good sense of what they have to do if they want to get in. So let's just get into these Week 12 games and talk through some of the playoff implications. But first of all, games that mean nothing. New Mexico State at Tennessee. Vols are laying 41.5 in this game. Just keep Aguilar healthy. Keep everybody healthy. Let Joey put up some big-time stats because he'll be able to throw the ball all over this secondary with Tennessee's receivers and their offensive weapons. I want to see their defense have a good game because their D has been struggling throughout the year. So for Tennessee, just play an all-around game and stay healthy. And then Kentucky hosts Tennessee Tech. Tennessee Tech is 10-0. Right? This is an FCS game. Tennessee Tech has not lost a game yet. And Kentucky's coming off of two conference wins. Do they kind of just ride that high and sort of like, oh, it's an FCS team? I don't think they lose this game. I don't think it's very close, but you got a decent team going into Lexington. Who knows what's going to happen? But Kentucky, same story. Stay healthy. Do what you have to do. And just take care of business. And let's move on to games that people will actually watch on their television. First off is a game that I'm going to go to. I'll be in Oxford for Florida at Ole Miss. Ole Miss is laying 15.5, I do believe is the live number, total of 53.5. It's a big game for Ole Miss fans, apparently, because you have 3-6 Florida coming to town. And they have everything to prove, does Ole Miss, against a 3-6 Florida team, amongst the Lane Kiffin rumors. Now, that's all true. This game has absolutely no bearing on that decision. I would be absolutely floored if, when we get to a conclusion on this Lane Kiffin saga, if he points to the Florida-Ole Miss game as the reason why he stayed or left. This game means nothing to that. It means nothing. And part of that is because this Florida team has totally quit. And we saw that in their effort against Kentucky. They were getting pushed around. They had a lead early on, but then the second that Kentucky punched back, they just rolled over and died. Lagway threw three picks again in the first half. Their defensive effort was slow. The offense was sloppy. Florida's done. Florida's just done. And does this game mean anything to Florida's players? Because Ole Miss players, they will, right? Because they know everything. They want to go beat the hell out of Florida because they want to do it for their coach. They want to prove to Kiffin, like, dude, we got it right here. We can do it right here. So Ole Miss is going to be up for this game. Their players, they want to demolish Florida. Do the Gators even care? I don't know that they do, because a handful of Florida's players might not even be there if it is Lane who's their coach next year. This game doesn't mean anything to Florida. It means a lot to Ole Miss. And the Rebels, they're in a similar spot with this game in years past, where everything is in front of them to go to the playoff, to do what they want to do. But then you kind of drop a bad game. I don't think that's going to happen. Because they lost to Florida last year, and then now they're coming back this year. They get them at home. They've already avoided several other trap spots. I think that they're focused enough. I think Ole Miss is sharp enough where they don't need to worry about a letdown spot in this game. I think Ole Miss comes out swinging. I think Florida takes a punch and just immediately falls to the ground. This game I don't think is going to be very close. I think a spread in the less than 20 is a little generous. I got Ole Miss absolutely popping Florida. So I'll be there. I will be in my Gators polo. I'm just going to go there for the experience of being in the Grove for the first time. But Ole Miss, I do think, is going to lay a hammer on Florida this week. Mississippi State travels to Missouri. Missouri's laying 7.5 with a total of 51.5. This game's a little disgusting to me, right? Because Mississippi State, they're coming off of getting absolutely dragged by Georgia on their home field. And Missouri is coming off of an uninspiring loss to A&M at home in a game where they feel like they can make a statement. Now, they did have Matt Zoller as a quarterback, their third-string guy. He was 7 of 22. I think he just 77 yards passing. It was a really, really run-heavy attack for Missouri, which worked. They just weren't good enough, and they were outclassed by the Aggies. And despite last week and the performance that A&M put up on their defense, Missouri's defense is still number 2 in the SEC in total defense, and Mississippi State is 14th. The big matchup here for me is that the Bulldogs have the second worst rush defense in the SEC. So if you are a Missouri, and you know that Matt Zollers is not where he has to be, he is not ready to execute a great passing attack, Ahmad Hardy and Jamal Roberts need to have the ball all day long. Because Zoller's not really any fault of his own. He's just not ready for this spot, so he doesn't give me any confidence at all. I have no confidence in Matt Zoller's to go out here and play a great game. So just feed your two-headed monster in Roberts and Hardy. Because they both broke 100 against A&M. Imagine what they can do against Mississippi State in a bounce back spot. For State, they should be able to find some wins on offense with their passing game. We'll see how they use their two quarterbacks. I didn't love how they did it against Georgia, bringing in Kamario Taylor for Blake Shapen in spots where I didn't think it really made sense. But those are two good players. So we'll see how Jeff Lebby utilizes both of those guys. I think they'll have some wins against this Missouri defense, but it won't be consistent. I think that Missouri runs away with this one and bounces back behind a really strong run game. So going to Missouri like 35-17. I think that line's a little bit too tight. I think Missouri is able to win a convincing game at home against State. Now, South Carolina at Texas A&M. Big number here. A&M is favored by 18.5, total of 47.5. A&M is fourth in SEC in total offense. South Carolina is dead last. There is a 165-yard per game gap and an 18 points per game gap. The offenses in these two games could not be farther apart. And defensively, A&M is sixth best in total defense in the conference. South Carolina is 10th. Where I think Carolina maybe has a shot is that Carolina has 9 interceptions on the year defensively, which is tied for 4th in the SEC. And the Aggies and Marshall Reed, they've thrown 7, which is just middle of the pack. They're not really great. They're not great at taking care of the ball through the air. They're not bad. They're not a liability. But it's not like they've been keeping the ball safe through the air all day long, all year long, excuse me. So if Carolina has any shot in this, they got to pick off Reed twice. That's the formula, because they have a secondary who's proven that they can pick people off, and an A&M passing offense that is a little bit susceptible to the occasional pick. So if Carolina has any shot, they need to pick off Reed multiple times and set up Lenora Sellers and that offense that has really underperformed in great spots. And Carolina, just metrically, they have the 6th best pass defense to try and help limit Casey Concepcion and Mario Craver. Now, Missouri has the best pass defense of the SEC, and we saw how that went. I think that this A&M passing offense as a whole is just kind of a number buster, right? I'm not really sure it matters how good your passing defense is because of how good this offense is explosive-wise, but all it takes is 2 passes that Carolina is able to capitalize on to maybe flip this game. Do I think it actually happens? Not really. This is A&M's last home conference game. This team is a wagon. Carolina is really trying to play spoiler at this point, but I don't think they can do it in this spot. So give me A&M like 31-14. I'm not sure that A&M is able to cover just because of how high that number is, but I do think that they win the game handily. Not too much stress for the Aggies and Mike Elko in College Station this week. Give me A&M by a good bit over South Carolina. Little upset pick here coming. Arkansas travels to LSU. LSU is favored by 5.5, total of 57.5. I think LSU was done. Nussmeier was benched last week for Michael Van Buren, and he looked totally checked out. He was not giving Frank Wilson the time of day when he was talking to him on the sideline. Nuss is just done. It's been a really massive fall from grace from him, from Heisman favorite post week one to now this situation that he's in. And I sold my fake stock in Nussmeier preseason. I didn't think it would be this bad. I did not think that the ROI on my fake sell, which is not even how stocks work, but I did not think that it was going to happen this bad. And I don't know who starts for them this week yet, because it's coming out that Van Buren is going to have a bigger role. So maybe Nuss gets the first snap still and still plays most of the snaps, but I think that Van Buren is going to be in for a good bit of this game. They have to go against Arkansas now, LSU. Or sorry, they get to go against an Arkansas defense, who is the worst in the SEC by a long shot. But it's really bad on bad when LSU has the ball, because what has the Tigers offense shown us really at any point that inspires confidence? They didn't score a touchdown last week. It was on the road at a good Alabama defense, but you can't get in the end zone once. Like, this LSU offense is just a nightmare. And the Arkansas's offense is still clicking. Do not let 2-7 fool you. This offense is so good with Talon Green, Mike Washington Jr., and Omega Blake, just to name a few of them. They're really an elite scoring team. And LSU's defense, they put up really solid games. But the total and the spread in this game are what they are for a reason. It's a high total. It's a tight spread. I think that Vegas is looking at this like, well, Arkansas is going to be able to score some points. Because from an LSU defensive standpoint, how many games do you keep getting up for if you know you have to hold the other team to like 13? I don't see LSU still really replicating their great performances defensively. And Bobby Petrino, he wants this Arkansas job. He wants to be the guy who's full-time next year. He doesn't want them to go outside higher and bring somebody else in. Petrino wants it. So he's going to have his guys fired up. There's not going to be much checkout from the Razorbacks, I don't think, in this game. They want to go get a win in Death Valley. They all do. The coaches do. The players do. They're going to go all the way, I think. And for that reason, I got Arkansas winning this game decently high scoring, like 38-28. Because I think LSU's offense will still be able to get some, because Arkansas's defense is that bad. And LSU's offense has enough talent to where I think they can just win, you know, like regardless of scheme. You know, you just have to execute a few good plays to get some big chunks. But I like Arkansas to upset LSU maybe by two scores in Death Valley and get a big win for Bobby Petrino's case to be Arkansas's full-time head coach next year. Last two games. Two beautiful ones here with massive playoff implications. So it's Texas, Georgia, and Oklahoma, Alabama. Oklahoma's 11, Texas is 10, Georgia is 5, Bama is 4 in the CFP rankings. Two of those teams are going to get a loss this week. And if it's Texas or Oklahoma, that probably boots them out of playoff talk. If it's Georgia or Alabama, all of a sudden the margin for error is razor thin. And Georgia is in a worse spot than Bama, I think, even though they do have to both go play road rivalry games, because Georgia Tech, I think, is going to have a little more juice than Auburn, but at Bama playing in Jordan-Hare is always scary. So for both of the favorite teams, the home teams, they I don't want to say these are must wins because they're really not, but you need to have that margin for error because you never know what can happen the weekend after Thanksgiving. And for Texas and Oklahoma, they're obviously playing with their backs against the wall. Let's get into them. Oklahoma at Alabama. Bama is laying 7.5, favored by 45.5. Oklahoma is off of a bye week. Bama is coming off that LSU game. This game has the number one and number three defenses in the SEC in points per game. And one certainty that I have in this game, that if I'm wrong, I'm going to give up on football, is that Alabama is just not going to run it. Because this run defense is really bad. It's the 14th rushing offense in the SEC going into an Oklahoma defense that is second in the conference. So can a one-dimensional Bama team, that it has been working still, but can it work against a defense the caliber of Oklahoma? Because Oklahoma is the fourth best in the conference in pass defense. They are third in sacks with 33 of them on the year. Is R. Mason Thomas going to play? As I'm recording this, we're a few hours shy of the first availability report, but he hurt his hamstring, I believe it was, in that game against Tennessee on that scoop and score recovery. So if he either can't go or isn't that close to 100%, that's a big hit to Oklahoma's defense. They have good depth. They have other talent that will step in, but it's not going to be R. Mason Thomas. So his availability is a massive factor for me in this game. And for Oklahoma's offense, the challenge is a massive step up here from playing at Tennessee to at Alabama. My question for their offense is, can Xavier Robinson take over? Since he's been getting more carries, Oklahoma's rushing offense has suddenly become relevant. Like, they've been able to run the ball with Robinson as opposed to just Torrey Blaylock and Mateer. And Bama is 11th in the SEC in rushing yards allowed per game and 14th in yards per carry. So there is a path for Oklahoma to be able to actually lean on the run against Alabama, which is not something that they've really done all year, except for last game against Tennessee. So if you're Oklahoma, can you get Xavier Robinson, Torrey Blaylock, and John Mateer effective on the ground? Can you make the defense really respect that run game, even have to fear it, and that will help you open up one-on-one plays downfield for Deion Burks and Isaiah Satania? There really is a script for Oklahoma to be pretty comfortable in this game offensively and have Alabama's defense kind of on their toes, because styles make fights. And in this situation, I think that Oklahoma's style is going to put up a big-time fight against Bama's defense. And let's say this game is close. Let's say it comes down to the wire. Oklahoma and Tate Sandell, they're making 90% of their kicks. Bama's only making 68. So if this comes down to a late field goal, I trust Oklahoma in that spot way more than Bama. And in the SEC, where we've seen the talent is so even, it's so spread out, it's such a balanced league, there's no reason to believe that it can't come down to a field goal. And in that spot, I trust Oklahoma way more because of how consistent they've been kicking the ball versus Alabama. And exploiting matchups can turn any game on its head. There are game-wrecking matchups in most upsets, and I think in this spot, it could be Oklahoma running the ball. I want Oklahoma to beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa 27-24. Get Oklahoma's playoff hopes back alive, where they just have to host Missouri and LSU to end the year to go 10-2 and probably make it in. And for Bama, it'd be their second loss, their first conference loss, but I think they'll be totally fine. You just have to win. I think they have a cupcake, and then Auburn, I believe is correct. But if Oklahoma wins this game, I think it's just another bid for the SEC into the playoff, because I think Oklahoma and Alabama will both be fine. And then the other game, I think we might get a similar story. Texas at Georgia. Georgia laying 6.5, total at 48.5. Georgia is coming off of that dominant win at Mississippi State, and the Longhorns are coming in off a bye. This is Georgia's first home game since that Ole Miss game, when they beat the Rebels at home. So this is their first time back in Sanford. They should be fired up. The environment should be pretty good. Texas is playing for their lives, in my opinion. Because a 9-3 SEC team, they'll have an argument. But with how bad Texas's loss to Florida is now getting, they can't afford that. Texas at 9-3, I don't think is going to be good enough, barring total chaos in the playoff field. Georgia's going to want to bleed them through the running game. They had a big day on the ground against Mississippi State, and that's just kind of their offensive philosophy with their personnel. They want to keep running the ball. They want to keep doing short passes. But in terms of the ground game, Texas is only allowing 2.4 yards per carry and 78 yards per game. This Texas running defense and their front seven is so good. It's so, so good. So I think that in this game, Gunnar Stockton is going to be forced to do a lot more than he did last week to beat Mississippi State. He's going to have to make a lot more plays with his arm, which I don't think is a bad thing because he's very consistent. He's very smart in the way he makes plays, but it's not the style that Georgia wants to run. So having a foreign style a little bit, does that disrupt their offense? And offensively for Texas, have they kind of found a rhythm? They scored 45 and 34 in their last two games, which were not against great defenses. Against the 14th in Mississippi State and the 10th in Vanderbilt in points per game. Now Georgia is 6th in points per game, but a lot of that's because of how well they stop the run. Texas, they don't want to run the ball that much. They want to throw it, and Georgia's secondary is where there are holes. So if you have Ryan Wingo out there, you have a bunch of just blue chip talent at receiver, and an Arch Manning who's maybe getting confident, there could be wins for Texas in their secondary. But the Longhorns on the road, I don't like it. In four road games, they've scored 7, which is Ohio State, 21 against Florida, 16 on Kentucky in overtime, and then 45 on Miss State. But Mississippi State is by far the worst defense on that list, and it was a lot late. So they have a lot of road woes going against good defenses like Ohio State and Florida. Do those problems show up for Arch again against a Georgia defense that I still respect? It's a good defense, even though they do have holes in their secondary. But you got guys like CJ Allen, and you have some dogs on the D-line. Pun. Do those road woes pop up for Arch again? I like a lot that Texas got 14 days for this. And Georgia is coming off one of their best performances, maybe all around, of the year. So can they play to that level again? I really started my cap thinking, I'm taking Georgia. I get the Bulldogs at home. This is not this Georgia team that we've seen Kirby Smart have. And he knows it. That's why he's playing the game as well as he has been playing. But guys, Texas, this roster, has never been the question. It's been, can they form together? Can they get into a rhythm? And can they click to their full potential? I think we're seeing that start to happen. I think we are. And Georgia, really good team, they've almost lost so many games. I'm not blowing the whistle on referees. Secondary pun. I'm on fire today. I don't want to play the ref card. But if they say Jackson Arnold scored on that goal line play, and they say Jay Michael Stroudemire caught that ball for Florida, you're looking at Georgia maybe being 6-3 right now. There are two reviews going different ways that were very controversial away from probably being a 6-3 football team. This Georgia team is good, but their wins are really, they're really close to being losses. And will a team as good as Texas be able to capitalize on that and not let Georgia sneak up and steal a game? I think that they will. I'm going for a second upset here. I want Texas over Georgia, 31-24, something like that. But I think Texas and Oklahoma both get massive road wins this week and make the SEC playoff picture a lot more crowded, because this would launch the Longhorns and the Sooners up into that conversation. Texas would probably still have to beat A&M to avoid being a three-loss team that would have to try and get in, but I think Georgia and Bama, as long as they win the rivalry games, they'll be good regardless. But Oklahoma and Texas, man, they can make this playoff conversation really, really interesting. So I think we get two great games in Oklahoma, Bama, and Texas, Georgia, but you can't sleep on the rest of the slate either, because every time that you look at the SEC slate and think, oh, these games don't matter, you normally get a pretty good result in one of them. So that'll do it. That is the Week 12 SEC preview. Big week ahead of us. A lot of playoff implications. If you liked the video, please drop a subscribe, drop a like, leave me a comment, let me know what you think. I have been Will Thomas, and thank you for tuning in.